So Philemon, or as a book before Hebrews, if some of you are first time here, it is between Titus and Hebrews. We've been seeing Philemon for past 4 weeks, on and off, in between different other preachings, sermons. Philemon. So today we'll be seeing from 17 to 25, the whole book. We will try to close with this. Good morning, all. And Philemon is a wonderful book, especially for me. I could see that how Christ reigns amidst evils, social evils. A Christ-centered wisdom and approach is stated here in this book. Certainly empowers us to face our day-to-day challenges. Personally, it was a blessing to me for the past weeks when I was meditating on this. And it helps us to look at the delicate situations in our life with godly wisdom. Like how Paul handles the delicate situation between Philemon and Onesimus. Slavery, in midst of slavery, and all its social evil those times. Paul, so beautifully handling with God's wisdom. That's what we saw in this Philemon. So by this time, I'm sure most of you are familiar with the key characters. Anyway, for the in the interest of first-time visitors here, Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus. These are three characters. Paul is Apostle Paul in prison. And Philemon is a master in Colossae. And Onesimus, a runaway slave who came from Colossae to Rome. And in God's providence, this slave, runaway slave, meets Paul. So I just coined it like P2O, like H2O, whatever you call it, right? Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus. So, you can remember like that. So, whenever you see water, you can remember whatever meditated, possibly. For some time, at least, until your memory is it's there in your memory. So, in our introduction, some few weeks before we saw Paul's letter to Philemon, in our introduction, we saw the effects or outcomes of our identity in Christ. Identity in Christ. So, we saw from the first three verses that how Paul, Apostle Paul, how he looked himself. He saw that he is no more alive. That's what he is writing. It's Christ who lives in me. That's how he says. And because of that, if you see, in spite of his imprisonment, Paul was having a different outlook of the entire situation. A different outlook of how he looked himself and his situation, his worst circumstances. And different outlook of others, both of whether Onesimus or the church at Colossae, which met in Philemon's house. Philemon is a master who probably had a large house wherein Colossae, the church, met at his house. So all the members at Colossae, and also the desire and the wish he has for Philemon, and also the church members at Colossae. So we saw that the very way he identifies himself changes the outlook entirely different. So though in spite of his worst and pathetic situation and his life-threatening situation because he was in prison. Prison in those days, it is not the same and like how it is. It's a life-threatening position for Paul that time. So subsequently, we saw one facet of this identity in Christ, which is faith expresses itself through love. Faith is one of the facet of this identity we saw that from verse 4 to 7 and how this faith is expressing through love. So primarily we saw from Philemon's life itself. So Philemon was a Gentile and he came to know the Lord through Paul, and it is Paul who invested in Philemon's life. So again, challenge for you is, based on the context, you have to interpret the names. I'm carefully using it, but Philemon is a master, Paul is a apostle, Paul in prison in Rome, and Onesimus is a runaway slave. And this Philemon, who came to know the Lord through Paul, was a great help and encouragement for the believers and saints at Colossae. So basically, Philemon was refreshing the saints' heart. Refreshing not by giving rasna or those things, but here the refreshment happens by, it's a spiritual refreshment. It's a spiritual refreshment which we all need in the Lord. And that's what Philemon been doing. He was, but Paul, who is there in Rome, which is a different city altogether, when he hears this, that how Philemon is refreshing, or Philemon is comforting and refreshing believers and saints at Colossae, by hearing that, though in spite of his Patrick situation, he is refreshed and he is deriving, you know, comfort and joy. That we saw from verse 4 to 7. And basically, Philemon's drive was God's love. So agape love of God is the one which was driving and propelling Philemon. So this we saw, because Jesus himself said that if you love God, it cannot be that you don't love your brothers. So love your God with all your soul and heart and mind, and love your brothers, love your saints. So that is how we can see the agape love of God is what was propelling both Philemon and also Paul. So last week we saw from verse 8 to, I hope you are all following. You have a handout, and in that, to this week we will see from verse 17 to 25. But before that, last week we saw a bond servant, or a bondage, a journey. It's a journey of a bondage to beloved. That's what we saw from verse 8 to 16. So if you see verse, please look at your text, verse 16. No longer as a bond servant, more than a bond servant, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. So Paul is telling to Philemon that now Onesimus, I am sending him back to you along with Tychicus. I am sending him back, Philemon. So this letter, this book, the book which we have right now, is a possibly like a small scroll that Paul would have sent to Philemon. So from Rome, and Onesimus himself is carrying this letter. And because there were slave catchers and other people, so, and also to help Philemon not to see this runaway slave who has wronged his master, Paul is sending Tychicus along with him, and with the very hands of Philemon, this letter is very hands of, it's a challenge for you, very hands of Onesimus, this letter is going to Philemon. So that time what he's saying is that now he is no more a bond servant. No more a bondage, no more in bondage, but he is a beloved brother. So the same standing, Philemon, you have, and the same standing which I have before the Lord, and same standing any one of us here, as a believers we have, the same standing, this runaway slave, this slave who is not considered as a human being in those days. He's only some object, you know, which can be inherited, which can be used, which can be abused, whatever. So that was a state of Onesimus. So what he's saying is, this Onesimus, who is a runaway slave, is having the same standing before God as you and I have. Now you receive him because he's a beloved. He is not a bond servant. So it's a challenging thing. So that's what we saw. And it is a journey of all of us, a pilgrim from bondage to beloved. So this we saw last week. And this week we will see from verse 17 to 25. We'll try to finish this. So we will read from verse 17 to 25. Please look at your text and see your handout, and I'll read from verse 17. So if you consider me, so Paul is telling here, so if you consider me your partner, Paul is telling to Philemon, so if you consider me your partner, receive Onesimus as you would receive me, as you would receive me. 17th verse. 18th verse. If he had wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. And at the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I'll be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful time. That today we are sitting here, it is not an accident. It is your privilege that you've given us this time to ponder on you and your word, Lord. Lord, this small book, in midst of all the same social circumstances, even worse social circumstances, Holy Spirit has recorded and kept for us, Lord, to show and to see Christ, Lord, through this. Lord, we can't avoid delicate situations in our life. Lord, but it is your love, your agape love that propels us, Lord, Father. And Lord, we all are Onesimus, who are in bondage, worthless and useless, Lord. But today we are all, if we are in Christ, we are your beloved, we are a royal priesthood. Show us Christ, even as we ponder on this. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, the title is Imitate Christ, the Christian Life. The ultimate pursuit of a Christian, that is a beloved and believer who journeyed, last week we saw, who journeyed from bondage to beloved, is to imitate Christ in this earthly life and would finally be confirmed to the likeness of Christ when we actually see him in his glory. So that is what God's word declares. Romans 8:29, if you read, says God has chosen us and he will confirm us to likeness of Christ. And the pursuit of our life is that to imitate Christ. That's our pursuit if you bring everything into essence. Imitate Christ. In today's text, Paul is imitating Christ and also inviting Philemon. So if you see, very beautifully he is presenting that how Paul is imitating Christ and also he is inviting Philemon. And also us today. He's also inviting us, his beloved, to do the same. So there are three pointers for us, helps to understand what Christ has done for us, so that we can imitate as it's applicable. Receive, refresh, and relate. So if you see in 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So that's the basis. So we can see that what he said in Corinthians, Philemon is doing that in this place. Sorry, Paul is doing that in his place. Verse 17 to 19. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. So if you see a Greek word for receive here is proslambano. It's okay if you don't get it. I also didn't get it much. It means accept. It takes to receive into one's home or to grant one access into one's heart. It has a deeper meaning in itself. So when Paul is using a word, receive, it has a deeper meaning. We will see that. But before that, we'll see he starts with the word so. Here the so word connects to what Paul just alluded, what he just talked about. So So we saw last week, again, just to recollect that, the same thing, that in the essence, in previous verse, he emphasized Onesimus is now a beloved brother. A beloved brother, not a bond servant. So with that, he is speaking now from here. So with the same standing with Paul has and Philemon has, now he's saying, so, now he goes on with this. So, he is presenting the case as a final closure. He is presenting the case with this, whatever he presented previously. And he is saying that, Philemon, so, now if you consider me your partner. Again, a partner here is a beautiful word in Greek. It is koinonia. This word is very close to me because I heard this word long before, that it means partaker or sharer. That is, most of the time people used to, those days used to travel in ship, and it used to be a long journey. And all that they had, they shared with each other, and life and death they have to join together. Those days, bond voyages in ship is not a pleasant journey. So this fellowship, they had a fellowship. So this is a koinonia, is a word here used. And here Paul is saying that, Philemon, if you consider me as your partner, receive him as you would receive me. So it is not, here it is not mentioned as in the current day context, where the partnership, whether it's in business or in marriages or celebrities, how it happens. Before the first anniversary, they say goodbye to the partnership. You know, that is what current day partnership, that's not the way here it is represented. Farewell and goodbye doesn't happen so easily. The partners here mentioned has a deeper meaning and is noble and honorable here. What Paul is asking Philemon to consider. So one example that comes in my mind is a fire brigadier. So they have a clear instruction that when they go in a mission. So recently also we heard a fire accident. So if you see, they have a very, very close instruction and they don't leave their partners. They have to be with their partners. What come may, what happens? Life or death, they cannot leave them. So that's how the partnership here defines. So they just can't leave them during mission. So Philemon is saying, Paul is saying, Philemon, if you consider me a partner, receive Onesimus. So what is he trying to say? For example, let us consider that if Paul is actually coming to, who is in jail now, but actually is coming to Philemon's house in Colossae. From Rome he is going. So all that Philemon has to do is, Paul is his mentor, the very person who invested life in Philemon. So Paul invested a lot of ample of time, because you see that he's saying in verse 19 that to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. So this particular statement shows the gravity of what Paul is telling when he says, you consider me as a partner. So a coach cannot claim that this player is my product, unless otherwise a coach has invested his lifetime experience in that player. He must have invested lifetime experience and teachings, and he must have just shed his sweat and whatnot in that player's life. Then he can say, this is my product. In same way, a teacher must have invested day and night in a student's life. Then he can claim that this is my student, this is my product. So that is what the claim here is, what Paul is making when he's saying that I own you, Philemon. Now, if such is the state, we recently saw that how Sachin Tendulkar goes to his paid tribute to his coach, So you see that Paul, if Paul comes to Philemon's house, possibly there would have been a grand celebration. And that's how he would have received Paul. And he would have just went and hugged him or given him a party, and it may have been joy. And now Paul is telling, interestingly, Philemon, do the same for Onesimus. It's a very, very difficult challenge for Philemon, I tell you. Why? It's a challenge. Because it's not only that this runaway slave Onesimus has wronged his master, ran away, but also now, He has to receive this Onesimus as he would have received Paul. So that is how he's saying. This is a challenge for him. But let's understand this. So what a challenge for Philemon. But the challenge here, Paul is challenging the challenge in Christ's love. That is how he is presenting here. He's saying, Philemon, you don't need to do out of your own work or own capacity, but he is placing Christ at this juncture. He is bringing Christ in the picture. You see that now. He is saying 18th verse. How is he bringing Christ? If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. So if you see, the next word we should understand is here impute. You have to understand the word impute here. So impute, the Greek word is elog echo, which means the only, this is the exact Greek word used in Romans 5:13 also. So if I, please turn with me to Romans 5:13. So just to understand how Paul is bringing Christ in this picture and helping Philemon to receive and accept Onesimus. The word impute is, in NKJV version, it is, it said, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So Paul, again, in Romans, he is writing that, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. In other words, sin is not counted when there is no law. Sin is not counted when there is no law. For example, I was reading recently that in Singapore, there is a new law they implemented that around 50,000 Indian rupees is a fine if you spit there in the streets of Singapore. If you just spit. I think India will be the richest country if they implement the same thing here. But this wrongdoing of spitting is not charged or accounted to you if you violate the same thing in India. But if you do that in Singapore, you will be charged for that violation in the streets within their jurisdiction. So if you see that, since there is no law or enforcement here in India, you can freely spit anywhere and do anywhere and however you wish. I faced this one day when I was driving in my motorcycle. It's not too much impact, but someone spit from the local bus on the move. So I in the next signal, I went near the same window. Somehow I traced same window because I saw the marks in that window also. And again, I wanted to show the handiwork, you know, little bit. So immediately, almost I have to escape because he was giving a finishing touch, you know, again. So I had to just rush from there. The point here is, you can do whatever you want because there is no such law. So it is not imputed to you. I was not able to do anything and no one will be able to do anything even if you catch him. So it is not imputed. It's not charged. Impute is, you are not charged for that debt or violation. So here what Paul is saying, that if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. So what is he saying? Philemon, if this guy Onesimus, he has robbed you something, don't worry, I will pay for you. I'll repay it. I, Paul, write this in my hand. In another example, I can say, when we go on a trip, sometimes somebody sponsors, you're very happy because the bill is going to come for somebody else, right? Because your credit card is not going to be charged. Somebody else is going to, you know, be charged for your expenses. That is what Paul is saying here, that don't worry, Philemon, that I will charge. Why he is telling this? It's a beautiful thing here. Actually, Paul is telling that, if you see, it is what Christ has done for us. Paul is saying, bringing the term impute here. Just please understand here, Paul is a prisoner. Possibly before he was a prisoner, he was a tent maker. He was making some money, not like Anil Ambani and all. He was making some amount of money in which he could have survived his or met his day-to-day expenses. But now he's in prison, which simply means that he hardly has any money. He has absolutely, his bank account, his bank balance is zero. And but here Paul is not just like that telling, you know. We say sometimes, you know, we give all promises, a lot of promises we give, and Paul is not giving promise like that. Actually, if you see, it's a legal term he's using here. Actually, in those days also, it's a legal term which you can actually vouch on it. That's what he's saying. Don't worry, I will pay, even if the debt is more, I'll pay. He's also claiming that here that Apostle Paul owns Philemon also in relationship what he possesses with him. So let's bring that. If you turn to your handout, there is a verse which we have kept here in the first front page quote, where I blocked it. He loved us and sent his son to be there is a space to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is from 1 John 4:7-15. If you see here, it is, in order to again understand impute, there is another word. It is propitiation, which means a sweet atonement or a atoning sacrifice. The payment of the debt of ours is quenched or is taken care. That is, the wrath of God is quenched because of the atoning sacrifice or a propitiation which was accomplished by Christ on the cross. So, to put it together, it is like this. In Hebrews 10:14, if you read, for by a single offering, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Which simply means that we read in meditation today in Psalm 32, which also Paul refers in Romans 4:6-8. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and those on whose sins are covered. This is actually Paul is referring in Romans 4:6-8 from Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin. So in fact, this is what Paul is bringing here. Philemon, you are blessed because you are accepted in God's kingdom because Christ paid for your debts. Christ owns you and he has paid for your debts. Your sin is imputed or charged into Christ's account, and Christ's righteousness is imputed or charged to your account. That is the exchange which was offered on the cross. It's very strong here. The meaning is strong if you really look into the depth of this, what Paul is trying to present here. He's actually imitating Christ. He's asking Philemon to impute or charge debts, wrongdoings of Onesimus into Paul's account. Paul is doing this. The ultimate purpose is that he wants Philemon to accept Paul, accept Onesimus. He's asking Philemon to accept or receive Onesimus as Paul himself. He's placing how Philemon himself was accepted in the kingdom of God through Christ. Dear ones, I want to just present here, when you use the word impute here and what Paul is presenting here, it is exactly what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's saying this, to put it in this context, Father, if you consider me your partner, so Jesus is telling this to Father, God, if you consider me your partner, then receive this erstwhile bond servant, that is all of us, we sinners. But now, as a beloved child of God, as you would receive me, at the cross the debt has been paid fully. This man's or woman's sin is charged into my account, imputed into my account. An atoning sacrifice, a propitiation for his sins is paid in full, that your wrath is quenched fully. Thus God imputed Christ's righteousness into our account and called us beloved. If you are accepted Christ, this is what happened to us truly in Christ. So we are accepted and received as Christ himself. That's how God looks us. That's why if you see today I am standing here, it's not because of my righteousness, or any one of you is standing here because of your righteousness. Otherwise God's wrath would have burned you to ashes. That's how his holiness is. But God sees you and receives you as Christ. It is indeed a glorious privilege that we have in Christ. It is an everlasting and eternal privilege. We have accepted, we've been accepted as beloved into God's kingdom. Not by any means of works, but because it's Christ's righteousness imputed for us. Our sin is charged into his account. So to move on, if you see, Paul is mentioning here, again it's imitating, he is imitating Christ. 20th verse is refresh. Yes, brother, why is he doing this? I like to draw your attention here. There's a greater meaning here. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. So, in order to understand this, you have to see verse 7. You have to see verse 7 of this chapter. It says that, "For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother." So Paul is telling, because the hearts of saints, that is believers, have been refreshed through you, through Philemon. So Paul is telling to Philemon that the ultimate purpose is that I want to be refreshed. It sounds a little bit like selfish thing, but it's not. This refreshment is not like the world looks at it. This is not the way it is. So what Paul is telling is that if you receive Onesimus, then I am refreshed. So you see here, it is an inseparable love. That's what we saw in verse 7, that Philemon loved God, and Philemon, because of Philemon's love towards God, he is refreshing the believers, the saints, and that is refreshing Paul, or bringing him joy and comfort. So that is what he is asking here. Refresh. The benefit here is in the Lord. It is not. It's not a worldly benefit that Paul is reaping here. He's openly expressing, actually. He's openly expressing. But can you think of why is he saying this? Again, as a believers, we can see that in Christian walk, we need refreshments. Because it's not bed of roses. I always think when I see the verse, a word refresh, I see the picture of oasis in a desert. Oasis is a place where you God has naturally provided a beautiful garden with water, which you think like that, in midst of a desert where you can refresh yourself. So that is all when I see the word refresh here. And we need refreshment in the Lord. And that happens in fellowship. But Paul, here he's saying that if Philemon accepts when this Onesimus comes with the letter, when he comes with this letter along with Tychicus, he is saying that how you will receive me? Go and receive this person who wronged you, who is a slave. But receive him. And that will refresh me. That is what he is saying. See, I tell you something. I was just thinking about this. But how this refreshment happens? He is in prison. Paul is in prison. And he is saying that now all the way Onesimus, the slave, travels to Colossae, and Philemon, the master, is receiving him, but he is refreshed there. This is true, in fact. I tell you, it doesn't happen like nowadays refreshment, how it happens. Like, I tell you, we send invites to our friends, invites because various things, like because I am refreshed when I get Google cashback, Google promotions, Google offers. If I introduce 10 friends, if I introduce, if I get more likes, more citations, we get refreshment many times. It happens. But that is not what the credit points which Paul is going to get anyway. If whether Paul, whether Philemon receives, when Philemon receives Onesimus, there is no physical gain or any material gain he is going to get. But the binding is in Christ. The binding is in Christ. And that is what he is saying, that I am encouraged. If you, I will be refreshed if you receive this slave. Why? I'll tell you. Today we talked about, if you all listened, that I was talking to, today morning I received a message from Ramnivas. Ramnivas is a person who is physically challenged. Already he lost his one leg. And when he was small, when in a train accident, when his mother went to commit suicide, that's how he lost. And this is a missionary now in Bihar whom we are supporting. And couple of days before, he was hit by a group of people in the other leg also, because they already told him, we will take out your other leg also. So he was persecuted. You know what happens? Let me give you a couple of verses. If you turn to Acts chapter 9, so I'm talking in the context of refreshment. Why it matters for Paul when Onesimus is received by Philemon? Why, when Onesimus is accepted, Paul is refreshed? If you see in Acts chapter 9, I'll quickly tell you, it is Paul, this Paul, the same person who is writing, is called Saul before he came to know the Lord. At the time he encounters Jesus, he was going from one place to other place, that is in the road of Damascus, is going to persecute the church. So what happened to Ramnivas, he was going to do the same thing for the people in the road, on the road of Damascus. He is going to persecute the church from one place to other place. That is when he encounters Christ. Christ is asking, Saul is the same person whom we are seeing. Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul is saying, Lord, who are you? And in Acts chapter 9, if you go through, he's saying that it is Jesus whom you are persecuting. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But Paul was persecuting believers, saints. But Jesus is telling you are persecuting me. Secondly, if you turn to Matthew 25, 31 to 46, there it's again, it's a judgment day. That time the Son of Man comes in his glory with his angels with him. He will sit on the throne of his glory. And now if you see verse 35 of Matthew 25, he's saying this. Just a mapping of this refreshment. Jesus is saying, when I was hungry, when and you gave me food, when I was thirsty, you gave me drink, when I was a stranger, you took me in. And in verse 36, if you see, he's saying, I was naked and you clothed me, I was sick, you visited me, I was in prison, you came to me. And the righteous will wonder, who was accepted in the Lord, in his glory when he comes to, in the judgment day, that righteous will wonder, when all this happened, Lord, when I never did this to you. I never did this to you. And he's asking, and now the king says, that is Jesus says that, he will answer them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of these least of my brethren, you did it to me. So that is how Christ identifies himself. So Jesus is saying that when Paul is persecuting believers, he is saying that you are persecuting me. In second example, he is saying that he is refreshed. That is, Jesus himself is refreshed when the brethren was refreshed. So Paul is just imitating this. Can you see? It's a privilege for all of us. We are apple of his eyes. We are precious in his eyes. So even when I was, when he heard this, I was a little bit upset and I was down when I called him and talked with him, because he was emotionally and physically, and he is going to doctor, and he was not able to walk. But today still he is having in another place. They moved to another place and they are having church today. But the beauty is, I told this verse to him. The beauty is that Christ is identifying himself with us. We are one in him. Every believer is one in him, one in Christ. And that is what Paul is telling here. He's imitating Christ here. So even though he is in prison, he is benefited in the Lord and refreshed when Philemon is accepted. Philemon accepts Onesimus. So lastly, to close, as a verse from verse 21 to 25, when we read, in Christ we relate and share. In Christ, as we just now saw, Christ is the only bond between all these people. Philemon, who is a master, and Paul, who is from an IIT graduate in those days, context, studied under Gamaliel. And this Onesimus, who has no social status in those days, set up a runaway slave. All these people are bound by Christ. They're related in him and through him. And they're all branches in his vine, in his vineyard. Paul is using this only as a foundation and placing this appeal. One step forward he goes and says, Philemon, I am confident of your obedience. I write to you. So in this relationship, if you see, the obedience is what Paul is pitching on. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. So what is he trying to tell? If you see, Paul is having an unshakable confidence in Philemon's obedience. For he knew that this obedience which Philemon has springs from the relationship that Paul enjoys with Philemon. And it is because of Christ again. As far as this episode of Onesimus is concerned, we are closed with it. Paul is ending it here. Actually, my parents, sometimes when they come here, they come with a mobile in which they can watch serial. Because we don't have TV and they wanted to watch serial. I tell you, after 3-4 months, hardly the serial is gone ahead. One time they will climb on the steps, and other episode they climb down from the steps. That is the way it is. So you can actually map the complete serial. So you may look, this Onesimus, the book of Philemon is like that. Sometimes you can see, but it's hardly moving, it's all the same. But the beauty is, it is loads and loads of love and Christ-likeness and imitation is packed in this small letter. It is not having a... this actually, if you see, though it is not having a true a dramatic incidence or climax here, yet it holds solid biblical foundations and truth, which we as a believers need it and we ought to imitate it in spite of all the social setups around us. Paul's, inspired by Holy Spirit, he's saying that I write to you knowing that you will do even more. This would have pierced Philemon's heart with love. The confidence is, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Jesus told this in John 14:15. Paul is placing this before the entrance of Philemon's heart and also towards us. Actually, this story is an endless story because we all ought to continue this story. Because there is, though end is not clearly specified here, but we ought to continue this. The fellowship here, Paul is referring in 21st verse again, is saying that he is longing to see Philemon. Though he has no certain assurance that he is going to meet Philemon, he is asking him in prayers and petitions. He is saying that prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping. It's longing actually to have fellowship with this Philemon. And imagine if this is what he is saying, that Philemon, I am longing to have fellowship with you. I want to come and meet you. Prepare a guest room for me. How much more he is putting, indirectly is telling to Philemon that one day you have to see me face to face. And if you would have rejected, it will not happen. He is confident. But imagine Philemon would have thought, if I am rejecting, how am I going to meet this mentor, my mentor, my spiritual father, when he meets me, when he comes to me? How can I meet him face to face? How can I see him face to face? In verse 23, we can see fellowship. Epaphras is a prisoner, fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sending greetings to you. Actually, Paul had a team of believers, a fortified wall around him. This means not only that, actually, if you see here, in those days, this Epaphras volunteered himself to minister in prison, in Paul's imprisonment for the gospel. He is actually volunteering him. This is important to see here, because the fellowship and the bond which these people had in Christ is amazing, because which means that Epaphras also had a threat. If he is going to support this guy in the jail, everyone will know, will come to know, at least the Pharisees, the Jews people, all these people will come to know that Epaphras is also one among Philemon. The wrath which these people had on Paul can be executed on this voluntary person, Epaphras, who goes and helps him in imprisonment. So not only it is a physical discomfort, it is also a public rage and wrath which he is subjected to, including Epaphras, when he is ready to go and when he is going and helping Paul. So, dear ones, I want to share with you that if you see here, today, WhatsApp and social forward fellowship mode is of no much benefit. Here, if you see what it is, a very pathetic and worse situation. Still, these men in Christ are longing to have fellowship with each other, because they know that is a secret of our battlefield. We are not solo soldiers here on this earth, and it is not the way that is designed here. So we have noticed in these days culture that we are hiding behind, many times I hide behind emails and messages than talking in person. In Christ, we are not called to be solo soldiers, and that is not, it's going to help us in our walk in this battlefield, in this journey. Jesus had a close fellowship, especially in John 17 we read, please go and read this John 17, it's a beautiful prayer of Christ, how he advocates for his brethren, including us. He prays for this, not only God, he's praying to his Father, not only for this disciples and apostles that I'm praying, I'm also praying for those who's going to hear from them and believe in me, that for them also I'm praying that all may be one, united forever. That is what Paul is imitating here. Couple of verses to encourage you in Hebrews 10:24 and 25. It says that do not miss this fellowship. Do not, just don't neglect this habit of meeting each other and encouraging each other and upholding each other in the Lord. So in order to conclude, I want to bring you here, the crux is Matthew chapter 18 I was going through, in which there is a king who forgave a huge amount of debt to a person, his subordinate, his servant, who owed him 10,000 talents, which is almost 20 years of wages in those days. 20 years of wages, a servant, highly impossible that he can pay back the debt. And he pleads him. Actually, the king says that put him and throw him along with his children and his parents or along with his family, totally throw him in jail. Let him pay. How can? Once he is put in jail, how can he clear the debt? So highly impossible. He will always be in the dungeon. But when he pleads, when he repents, when he asks, and he says, your debt is cancelled. That is 20 years of wages, almost 10,000 of talents of money which he has to pay to the king is forgiven, is imputed, is cleared, or king is taken into his account. But this wicked servant, unwilling to forgive one of his subordinate, this wicked servant, subordinate or servant, to pay only 100 denarii, which means 100 day wages. It's not much. So then, when king hears, it was reported to the king that he didn't forgive him, and he was punished again. The wicked servant was punished. By grace of God, if only a Christian or a believer, beloved, can discern and comprehend the depth of the fact that loads of our sin were imputed into Christ's account and our debt is stand cancelled and not accounted against us, paid in full by the blood which was shed on the cross. If we understand this, that's what Paul is telling. Philemon, if you understand this, if you understand this, if you only understand this, it is not difficult for you to forgive and accept and embrace Onesimus. It is not at all, because that debt and the pain and the hurt which this guy brought in your life is nothing compared to what you brought in Christ, in God's, before God's sight. And God has cleared it completely. And you can be with God forever, for eternity, through cross. And it is easy for Philemon to forgive and imitate because of the unconditional love that he received. To close with, I want to tell you, dear ones, that light and darkness cannot be together. And Bible declares either you are in bondage, or that is bondage, which you are slave to sin, or you are a beloved of Christ, redeemed by the blood of Christ, in which your debt, your sin is cancelled completely and you are righteous before God, accepted. So George Mueller, one excerpt from him is that the disciples of the Lord Jesus are bound together for eternity and are knit together for eternity. And that you see is so precious. There may come separation by distance, there may come separation by death. How, but it is only appearance. We are all bound. We are bound together in bonds of love, not for time only, but for eternity. All poor sinner who rests on the atoning death of the Lord Jesus form one holy, happy, blessed family for eternity. And there will be no separation for eternity. Dear ones, I want to ask you, do you belong to this family in Christ? Do you belong to this? Do we belong to Lord Jesus Christ? That's what George Mueller is telling. How many of us belong to this heavenly family? Paul is telling to Philemon. Philemon, whether it's Onesimus or me or you, all belong to one blessed family of Christ, a heavenly family in kingdom of God. Imitate Christ as I imitated Christ. Lastly, to close with an example, I knew an actor who was supposed to act as a mentally challenged person. So all that he did is, he himself volunteered and to be with them in such places where they have mentally challenged people. And he went through all the struggles and pain to understand how much pain and struggle they go through, and put himself in such situation so that he can imitate and enact similarly. I want to tell two things in this when I take this context. One is that Christ did that for us. He himself became cursed in our place. And also one more thing we can see in that is that the beauty is that we can trust what God has done for us. We're all Onesimuses. If you have to imitate Christ, we ought to be with Christ. We have to be like this actor who went. We ought to be with him and know him. And we can't imitate by physically or by our works. We have to know Christ to imitate him. To know Christ, you have to go to him, be with him and ask him, plead with him. I'll close with this verse. This is an endless story. Philemon is an endless story. And all of us can identify and put our shoes in Paul's life, Philemon's life, and Onesimus' life. All these delicate situations will come in our life, and we need only Christ to be like Paul, to be like Philemon, to be like Onesimus. If you are his beloved, this is an encouragement to imitate Christ. Pursue Christ's likeness, being assured that we all together will be confirmed to image of Christ when we see him in his glory. Be imitators of Christ. That's what Paul said. Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ, as I am of Christ. Dear ones, this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Abide in Christ. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. So that is what Paul is doing. That's what he is asking Philemon to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful, wonderful, small book written from prison. I'm not sure whether Paul had adequate light and illumination to write this, but Lord, we can see how much he is enlightened and illuminated by your love, by Christ. That his pathetic situation and life-threatening situation had hardly any impact in making this apostle, who is almost old, more than 60 years old, and in midst of life and death, he is refreshing others sitting in jail. And Lord, not only that, he is bringing refreshment in Philemon's life, the hurt and delicate situation and feelings here in Philemon's life. And also the church is witnessing this. We can see that it's healed because of Christ. Paul is imitating Christ. Help us to imitate you, Lord, because of the love that you showered on the cross. Because of the love that you lavished on the cross, our debt is completely cancelled. It's imputed to your account, Lord, in Christ. Thank you, Father, for this privilege that we have, that our sins are cancelled completely. And we are accepted. You have received us as you received Christ. We have a standing, and it is for eternity. Lord, even we remember as we saw when people persecute your beloved, you are identifying with us, Lord. We remember Ram Nivas as a church, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege that he also may suffer for you, that Christ may be glorified much more. And Lord, you will build your church, Lord. That's your promise. Thank you, Lord. Help each one of us to be Paul, to be Philemon, because we're all accepted like Onesimus in your kingdom, Lord. Bless the rest of the time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.